Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, When Heaven Meets Humans, Angelic Encounters, was preached by guest speaker Karen Thomas on Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 38. It was recorded on December 19th, 2021, and is part of our series, Humans of Christmas.
Good morning, FAC family, and to those of you that may be watching online. It's the Sunday before Christmas. If you have one of those little calendars that change the date, you put 6 on it today. For some of you, you might be saying, whoa, slow down. And I bet all the kids are saying, bring it on. Yes, we want it. It's coming close. Have you enjoyed any of your favorites this holiday season? I love the tastes and the trees. I love carols and all the wonderful picture cards we get in the mail. But there also can be added financial stress, intensified family conflicts because of our togetherness, greater depression and loneliness, and also, as the studies show this year, a greater amount of anxiety and depression, especially among the young. For those of you who have lost a loved one this last year, the grief is accentuated at this time. And I believe that holidays magnify whatever emotion that we're already experiencing in life. Wherever you find yourself on the spectrum of the Christmas spirit, one thing can help us either celebrate or escape, which is okay at times, is to watch a Christmas movie. Linus holding his blanket, quoting Luke 2. This is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. The Polar Express, Home Alone. Every Thanksgiving, the day after, my extended family, we watch Elf together. You may know Buddy's saying, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing, for all to hear. Exactly. In 1946, Jimmy Stewart debuted the role of George Bailey, who sacrifices his personal dreams to serve others and finds himself suicidal on Christmas Eve as he faces the closing of Bailey Brothers Building and Loan. Enter Clarence Oddbody, an angel who begins to show George what the world would be like without his presence. George sees with clarity the impact that he has made on the world. He returns home to a house full of friends who love him. They sing Auld Lang Syne, and we have a wonderful Hallmark Christmas movie ending. Life magazine just published the 75th anniversary of a magazine highlighting it. In 2007, the American Film Institute ranked it 20th on the list of the 100 greatest movies of all time, saying perhaps the single most life-affirming movie ever. More recent, Screen Rant also ranked Clarence in the 10 most memorable movie angels. Clarence was voted number one. Do any of you remember his famous phrase? Every time a bell rings, an angel earns its wings. That's right. But really? Do angels earn their wings? Do angels even have wings? When humans die, do they become angels? My interest in learning the biblical truth about angels goes back to the mid-1990s. We were living in Hodgenville, Kentucky, and my husband was pastoring the United Methodist Church there. And I served as the sponsor for the LaRue County High School Fellowship of Christian Athletes. During that season, a tragedy occurred. The captain of the cheerleading squad was killed in a car accident. She was not involved in FCA, but all the students I loved were involved. and or knew her and loved her. And so I served as a grief counselor at the high school, and I went to the funeral. And I'll never forget sitting in that packed church with her friends giving beautiful eulogies. And then one girlfriend said, "God needed a cheerleader angel in heaven." And the people clapped. Now, I knew that that was not true, but I thought, do I have enough understanding about angels that I can, that I could dialogue and help these kids with their questions about it? Angel ornaments grace our Christmas trees. Angel artwork covers beautiful the front of beautiful Christmas cards. Think about it. Nativity scenes almost always have an angel in them. And little girls are often costumed in white gowns with wings and a halo for Christmas pageants. Are angels female? What about Michael? Have you ever angel figurines and keychains and jewelry are sold in gift stores almost like a good luck charm? Have you ever seen the bumper sticker, "Don't drive faster than your angel can fly"? A couple in my family need that, including me. Pinterest has a huge page entitled Angel Sightings, and it's jammed with photos of clouds that look like angels. Are we to look to angels? Are angels to calm our anxieties? Do angels look like clouds? Several studies showed that 75 to 80% of people in America believe in angels, and that is significantly higher than the number of people that believe in God. And I was kind of perplexed by that. I searched angels in Amazon under books, Amazon books, and then I punched bestseller. The top three are one, Hell in a Handbasket, a Demon Romance. Two, Archangel Michael Speaks, 33 Living Transmissions from the Archangel of the Sun. Three, Spirit Guides, Unlock the Secrets to Connecting with Your Guardian Angels, Archangels, Spirit Animals, Departed Loved Ones, and more. The first book with any biblical perspective was number 34, and that was Billy Graham's classic, Angels, God's Secret Agents. So the 75 to 80% of Americans that believe in angels believe in vastly different beliefs. Do we believe in guardian angels? Are there different types and ranks of angels? Our music, especially at Christmas, Angels We Have Heard on High, or Sing Choirs of Angels, they're in every single Christmas song, carol song that we sing. But it's not just at Christmas. One of my favorite songs growing up, we sang all the time, was Holy, Holy, Holy. And it says, "Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee." And I sang that song for years before I had any idea what a cherubim and a seraphim were and the distinctions of their angelness, I guess you could say. We often sing the doxology, "Praise him above ye heavenly hosts." Are heavenly hosts angels? Are they Cupid figures playing harps on clouds? When I was sharing the gospel several years ago, a man literally said to me, "Why would I want to go to heaven? I don't want to float on a cloud, and I don't want to play a harp." When Pastor Paul asked me what character in the Christmas story I would like to tackle, I immediately thought about the angels, because they are everywhere, and they encounter all the humans. One thing I love and respect about Pastor Paul is that he says every Sunday, "Make sure you attend a church that teaches and preaches the word of God." And then he says, "Open your scriptures, whether it's digital or printed, to the scripture that we're going to study today." And I would love to do that, but it will be a little tougher to do that today because we're going to be literally all over the scriptures. I prefer teaching on one passage, but unfortunately, as our culture with fantasy and folklore is blended with facts, and the lines are blurred between angels and fairies like Tinkerbell and Peter Pan, who can fly, we need a more encompassing view of angels from Genesis to Revelation. We will discover today the simple fact, as Billy Graham said, if you believe the Bible, you will believe in angels. And a word of warning before we begin, we don't base our beliefs on others or our own experiences. I believe if I had an open mic up here, this many people would have beautiful testimonies of angel stories. But we don't base what we think on someone's experience. We base it on the word of God. Does it equate with truth? And as the bestsellers on Amazon tell us, experiences are vastly different when it comes to the angels and supernatural. The word is our living and active foundation. So let's set the stage. Right now, angels are among us. Think about this. Our sanctuary right now is filled with radio, television, and internet waves transmitting music, videos, and text. Messages filling this place. And if we had the right ability to tune in, we would be completely amazed at all of what's happening in here. And the same is true with angels. I believe there's a thick fog of them right now. And as it says, as we read in Revelation, that around the throne and really in God's creation, the angels number thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s, saying a limitless amount, countless, and they are here. Theologian Karl Barth once called the subject of angels the most remarkable and most difficult of all. Let's face that challenge today. First with angels throughout the Bible, and then ending with the Christmas angels. Over 300 times, angels are specifically spoken of in the scriptures. Most of the time talking about what angels do, and not so much what they are. If we add in the concept of Lord of hosts, there are 200 more. Only three angels are specifically named in the Bible: Gabriel, Michael, and the angel of the Lord. And Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Listen to that. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation? That means ministering spirits to you and to you, to you and to me and to all of us, because salvation is open to everyone in this room. First, angels are created beings, and this is really significant in answering our questions. Psalm 148, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all of his heavenly hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Angels were witnesses at the creation of the heavens and the earth. The Lord questions Job, "Where were you when the earth's foundation was laid, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy?" Around this same time, the supreme angel named the morning star in Isaiah 14 rebelled in pride. He and a host of his minions were banished from the presence of the Lord, and spiritual warfare commenced. We don't have time to delve into that topic now, but we must at least mention that there is a rank of fallen angels led by Satan, also called the devil, Lucifer, and the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So, angels are created beings, not divine. They are not miniature holy spirits. They are not saviors. We do not pray to them. They are as created spirits. They don't have a body, but they can inhabit bodies for the mission of God. They were created before the heavens and earth, and they were created with free will, as the highest angel chose pride, becoming the evil serpent, the prince of the air. Then Adam and Eve catechismically fell. Genesis 3:24 records, "After he drove out the humans, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." Cherubim. Does your mental image of a cherub include a flaming sword flashing back and forth? I highly doubt it. We need to start changing the mental picture that we have of angels, which has unfortunately been conditioned through artwork, beautiful artwork from all the centuries, that is not based on biblical truth, but is based more on tradition and cultural thought activity, just the culture itself. Our son, JP, loves the movie Braveheart and the whole William Wallace story. One Christmas several years back, he asked for a Celtic sword similar to those in the Braveheart movies. Well, look at it. It's huge. It's really heavy. I know I sure couldn't use it. But now I want you to imagine this sword flaming and flashing with fire in the hand of the fiercest warrior you could ever imagine. And then we may begin to understand the cherubim. They are associated with the presence of God, protecting what God has called sacred and keeping darkness at bay. Images of cherubim were woven into the veil between the holy and the holy of holies in the temple, and also the people were commanded to make two cherubim of hammered gold for the two mercy seats of the Holy of Holy. And verse 22 in Exodus 25 says, "There I will meet you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak to you." Old Testament professor Sandra Richter writes, "The cherubim of Eden and of the veil and the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies are best understood as Yahweh's watchers, his sentries, and his armed guards." She says cherubim, I love this thought, no longer are spoken of in the new heavens and the new earth because there's no more evil. There's no separation. So the cherubim are not even there because we live and move and have our being in Christ face to face. Richter continues, "Heaven is the place where the people of God dwell in the place of God with full access to the presence of God. But this insight must be balanced by the fact that humans are creatures. In contrast to angelic spirit beings, humanity was not designed to float about the heavenlies as so often is portrayed in popular theology. The new heavens and the earth is where God intends for us to spend eternity." Close quote. I'm sorry, Clarence, but humans do not become angels, and we don't have to earn any wings. We become something even greater. 1 John 3:22 says, "We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will become like Christ, and Christ is higher than the angels." Cherubim in Ezekiel are described with four faces, one of a human, of a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Old Testament professor John Oswalt teaches that the human face represents intelligence, the lion, courageous fire, the ox, faithful service, and the eagle, soaring insight. That's intelligence, fire, faithful service, and soaring insight. Cherubim are awesome. Seraphim, meaning the fiery ones, are the other special class of angels who Isaiah encountered when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And above the Lord, Isaiah 6 said, were the seraphim. They had six wings, two that covered the eyes, two that covered the feet for humility in approaching the Lord. And I also read, it was so cool, that those wings made like a barrier or a floor, so like the angels could be prostrate before the Lord at all times in humble worship. And then the other two wings were flying and their voices crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory." When that happened, when Isaiah saw that, he immediately said, "Woe is me." One of the seraphs then flew and took a live coal, what we now know symbolized the finished work of Christ, and touched Isaiah's lips, removing his guilt and atoning for his sin. Seraphim focus on worshiping and ministering to the Lord in holiness. And an interesting fact, cherubim and seraphim are the only angels ever mentioned with wings. So think about that. I have come to believe that not all angels have wings, of course. Okay. The archangel, meaning the highest rank, Michael, is spoken of in Daniel, Jude, and Revelation, always battling the principalities and powers. Daniel 11, starting in verse 12, and this is an angel speaking to Daniel. "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persia, Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief angels, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the visions concerns a time yet to come. When our answers to prayers are delayed, there may be war in the heavenlies on our behalf. Keep humbly travailing in prayer as it activates angels." Cherubim, seraphim, Archangel Michael, and the angel of the Lord, and general angels, are involved in all of God's activities. The angel of the Lord stopped Abraham when sacrificing Isaac. Angels were present at the giving of the Ten Commandments and the law. Exodus 23, the Lord said, "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along your way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared." In Numbers 22, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord and spoke out even before Balaam's eyes were opened up. The angel of the Lord appeared to both of Samson's parents before he was conceived. And the Daniel, which the story we probably are most familiar with in Lion's Den, Daniel credits an angel for closing the mouth of the lions. 1 Kings 19, when Elijah defeats the prophets of Baal and he flees from Mount Horeb because he's scared to death of Jezebel, he says, "I have had enough, Lord. I want to give up. Take my life." And twice the angel of the Lord touched him and said, "Get up and eat." Elijah was restored. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Fear is the most often recorded emotion upon encountering an angel. After David sinned by counting the fighting men, a plague broke out, and the angel told David for the plague to stop, he needed to build an altar to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 21:27 says, "But David could not go before it, the altar of the burnt offering to inquire of the Lord, because he was terrified of the sword of the angel of the Lord. The one that killed Goliath was terrified of the sword of the angel of the Lord. My favorite angel encounter is found in 2 Kings 6. The king of Aram is irate with the prophet Elisha because the Lord was giving Elisha this knowledge about all the moves the Arameans were going to make. And the king hears that Elisha is in Dothan. He says, go get him. When Elisha's servant sees all of these Arameans surrounding him, he is terrified, and he asks Elisha, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? Don't be afraid. The prophet answers, oh, Lord, Elisha prays, oh, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he looked on the hills, and he saw horses and chariots of fire all around them. Chariots of fire. That's not like a little cherub, is it? Do we have guardian angels? Matthew 18:10 says, see that you do not despise any of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. John Calvin says, yes, we do have guardian angels, but as scripture teaches, the hosts of heaven and holy legions of angels watch over us. A deeply respected friend of mine shared with me, he travels internationally speaking and sharing the gospel. And he says that back in 1987, the Lord showed him that he has three angels assigned to him. And he senses them working when he teaches. And I believe him. The parables of Luke 15 remind us that angels rejoice when one sinner repents. And the parables in Luke 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, says that angels carried Lazarus to angels' side. David Jeremiah says, angels confer us to heaven. We don't go alone. How comforting. Twice the angels rescued Peter out of jail, and the angel of the Lord directed Philip to go on the desert road where he discovered the Ethiopian eunuch. Angels ministered to Jesus after he was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness, and the angels met the women at the tomb after he was raised from the dead. Hebrews 1 and 2 focus on how Christ is better than the angels, and chapter 3 says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for so by doing so, people have entertained angels without knowing it. And finally, two places in the New Testament are loaded with angel activity. The first advent of Christ in the Gospels and the second advent of Christ in Revelation. So let's take a moment to catch our breath. These fierce, beautiful angels are everywhere in Scripture. And I don't want to simplify this huge panorama, but allow me to share three simple categories to help you remember the complexity of angel activity. And we'll place the Christmas angels in these categories. First, angels are messengers. Lot, get out of Sodom now. Gideon, take on the Midianites. Hagar, the Lord has seen your misery and has a plan for Ishmael. Gabriel appears to Zechariah, telling him that he and Elizabeth would have a son to be named John, filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, to make prepared a people for the Lord. Gabriel next appears to Mary, informing her that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, affirming what is conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. and an angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds, announcing a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. An angel was the first gospel preacher. Angels are messengers and they're magnifiers. They are worshiping and glorifying the Lord. Luke 2, suddenly a company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Think of the cherubim and seraphim. And I have a feeling that that was a warrior chant. Glory to God in the highest. Angels are messengers, they're magnifiers, and they're military, showing up in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, appearing as the commander of the Lord's army to Joshua before he went into Jericho. In the heavenly realms of the birth of Christ recorded in Revelation 12, this is like the birth narrative from the heavenlies, Archangel Michael and his angels fought the dragon, verse 4, who stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Military Michael, saved and ward for the Christ child. Messengers, magnifiers, and military. Brothers and sisters, we have to see that the Bible is flooded with angels. I had to cut so many stories to stay in the time constraints. This study slammed me this week, and I had to painfully ask myself, if my life is not inundated with angelic ministry, am I living a biblical Christian life? Angelic encounters in the Word do not seem exceptional, rare experiences, but a constant, normative way of living in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. You may ask, how? How can we begin to walk with more in this way? First, let's pray for the Lord to open our eyes, like Elisha prayed for his servant. Let's believe that there are hosts of angels, chariots of fire, and angels unaware, and ask God to help our unbelief. If we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, I believe he will open our eyes. Second, we pray. We pray to the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit to activate his angels in our lives. A dear friend told me this week, I was telling her that I'm preaching today, and she said, Karen, every time I get on I-75, I specifically ask God to command his angels concerning my safety. And you got to think about military and fire commanding the safety. David, my husband David, he prays daily that our children would be surrounded by two rings of angels, the inner circle looking in, ministering to them, and the outer circle warring for their protection. The call is urgent. We need, as Chris Tomlin says, the God of angel armies to dispatch his military hosts with fierce power on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ today. This must become normative in the lives of Christians. Open our eyes, pray, and praise. Join the company of the heavenly hosts and praise the Lord with all that you are and all that you have. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 8:2. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praise deploys God's military to war for you, silencing the foe and the avenger. Through Jesus, the victory is ultimately won. But until we see Jesus face to face, we will battle against the rulers and authorities and powers of this present darkness. We must praise him. 6 days, whoa, or yay, wherever you are on the Christmas spirit spectrum, I promise you on the authority of the word of God that the Lord's messengers, his magnifiers, and his military are available to you. May he open our eyes, may we pray and praise to make that a reality. And may singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing on this Christmas have an entirely new meaning. Let's pray. As the angels sang Hark the Herald to you, Lord, we hark. We just hark our praise to you right now, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. And not only coming to save us, but coming to sanctify us and make us more like you, and then to give us strength through your angelic armies. God, I pray that we would humble ourselves and say, God, we need you. We need this. Open our eyes so that we can see, and open our hearts so that we can walk forward in this, Lord. And God, I pray that your spirit would inspire us to pray fervently to you that you would command your angels concerning us. And then, Lord, we praise you. We worship you together with the cherubim and seraphim and the archangels and the angels of the Lord, with all the company of heaven. We praise you today, Lord. And we ask that you would seal us and surround us with your warring angels. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church, or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at FACLEX.com.